You don't need to be ripped. You just need the right shirt. Epic Fits gives you a clean, confident silhouette. Snug on the arms, soft on the skin, generous where it counts. And with deals like $15 per tee, they won't break the bank. Visit epicfits.com today. Epic Fits. T-shirts that get it.
Welcome into the Rockies Insider. I'm your host, Patrick Lyons, talking about the return of Nolan Arenado. A lot of Rockies news, a lot of ex-Rockies in the news worth discussing. But let's get it started with Daniel Bard. Officially done, or is it impossible for the man who has attempted countless comebacks already? His MLB.com page saying that he is retired. The Rockies on social media honoring Daniel Bard, calling it a career. And he was trying to return with the Seattle Mariners after missing all of 2024 as he recovered for right flexor tendon surgery. He had pitched a few games with the AAA Tacoma Rainiers, but it just wasn't working out as he would have hoped. So outstanding career. It's going to give him a little more time to work on the book that he is collaborating with Rob Bradford on about sort of the mental side of the sport and not quitting, and the fact that baseball is a game of failure more so than just about any other sport that's out there, and how you have to get over those kind of hurdles. And Daniel Bard is somebody that has gotten over his fair share of hurdles. Keep in mind, this is a guy, he's now 40 years old, but he was drafted all the way back in 2006 out of UNC Chapel Hill by the Boston Red Sox, debuted in 2009 and broke out in 2010 in a major way in that Red Sox bullpen, came in relief in 70 plus games, had 74 and two-thirds innings pitched, had a 1.93 ERA at a time in which, keep in mind, the American League was the only league that had the DH. So it was a time in which if you pitched in the National League, a 1.93 is great, but a 1.93 in the AL when only they had a DH and only they essentially had an opportunity to grab those fringy players, those guys that you might not be able to get a lot out of defensive-wise, those players like a David Ortiz, not available to National League clubs. Yes, NL clubs could have signed him, but why would you sign him if you can't, if he's going to be on your bench and he can't play even average first base? You can't. So the American League teams absolutely had an advantage for a while before the DH was made universal in 2022. But then in 2013, he started to develop the yips and just couldn't command his pitches. Boston let him go at the end of the season. Texas picked him up, but it wasn't any better. He bounced around with a few teams in hopes of figuring it out. Pittsburgh, St. Louis, the Mets in 2016 and 2017. And then he was sort of unofficially retired at that point. He served as a mental strength coach for the Arizona Diamondbacks. And while throwing in the outfield with a few of the D-backs, some of the players noticed he still seemed to have it. He had that thing. And he decided, yeah, you know what? Let's do this. Rockies in 2020 gave him an invite to spring training on a minor league deal. And he did not pitch well. Bard was not good at all. Only had a handful of outings, as you do in spring training. 3 1/3 innings pitched, 21.60 ERA. And then the pandemic hit. Life was deemed more important by the entire planet, and sports were rightfully placed on the back burner. And when MLB decided to come back, Bard gave it a few days before he was going to call it a career. And the Rockies called him to see if he was interested in joining the summer camp. He got a reprieve. He pitched well there and made that opening day roster for July 24th of 2020. He pitched so well that he earned Comeback Player of the Year for that 2020 season. Then in 2022, his third year with the club, he legitimately had one of the greatest seasons by a Rockies reliever ever. Go back and take a look. In fact, he even got a, let me double check this one, because it's one of those stats where I think, am I conflating things? Because I love qualifiers. Like, hey, the first guy to do this since this year, that was a draft pick. You know, I can do those kind of things. But no, I remembered it correctly. He pitched so well, asterisk, that he got an MVP vote. Yeah, he got a 10th place vote Actually, it might have been before the 10th place vote, but he got a top 10 vote for MVP in 2022, in a year in which the Colorado Rockies lost 94 games and finished dead last in the NL West. That vote was given to him by a Rockies writer. But Daniel Bard was fantastic in 2022. Had a 1.79 ERA, even better than 2010. 2.60 ERA plus. He will also go down as the last pitcher to have an at-bat for the Rockies. Game 161 in 2021 before the Universal DH was instituted before the 2022 season. I believe it was also in the black vest. So how about that for a trivia answer? It was Daniel Bard, the last pitcher to have an official at-bat for the Colorado Rockies before the DH came about. And in that 2022 season, Colorado had an opportunity to trade him when his stock was incredibly high. But ultimately, as the Rockies have done many, many times in their lifespan, and many, many times under GM Bill Schmidt, they decided not to trade Daniel Bard. And instead, they actually gave him a two-year extension worth $19 million. And that did not work out. It's probably one of the worst contracts or one of the worst performances they've gotten back from that. Most of that being injury. But Bard was league average in 2023 in 50 games and didn't pitch at all in 2024. So didn't really work out too well for the Rockies. Worked out great for Daniel Bard. And he now calls it a career, giving us a lot of really good memories. One of the best guys that I like talking to in the dugout, just after batting practice, having some fun and some real conversations about things. He's a very honest guy. I know that his book's going to be fantastic because of the stories that he has and because of his honesty and because of how great of a writer Rob Bradford is on top of that. So that's going to be one that I really hope does pan out. I know they've got some big names as writing the foreword to this book. So that should be a special one. We'll wait and see. I'm not sure if that'll be able to come out this spring. If they move back any deadlines, because he was trying to make a comeback, that would have only, you know, furthered the story just a little bit. But at the same time, I don't think you need him to come back yet again. I think him coming back in 2020 was everything. And still one of the best moments is during that summer camp when the Rockies sort of ran out of jerseys, right? We had a supply shortage, and he went out to the field during one of these practices with no number on his back, except there was a number. It was just in black electrical tape. So that is one that I'm still shocked to this day no one capitalized upon and made a jersey of the 52 Rockies jersey in duct tape. That would have been pretty awesome. Schaefer talked on Sunday about the second base situation. Now that Ryan Ritter is on the IL, that was his spot for only a couple of days after Ezekiel Tovar returned to shortstop. But it was nice to see that Ritter was getting that opportunity, that he was getting that regular playing time, because he has been playing well. He hasn't been, you know, tearing the cover off the ball. He's not making you drop your jaw in any way, but he is not making mistakes that we've seen out of so many other young players who have come up for the Rockies in the past 3 years. He's not playing in over his head like, hey, you can do it at AAA, but when you get to the majors, it's kind of a different league and you might not be in that league. We've seen that a lot. We've seen that a lot the last handful of seasons. But that hasn't been the case with Ryan Ritter at all. So that was his job for second base. Now with him on the 10-day IL for that mashed up right middle finger that he suffered on Saturday when trying to lay down a bunt. Now we're just going to see a rotation at second base between Kyle Farmer, Orlando Arcia, and now Adiel Amador, who is up. Schaefer said that his job is to make sure Amador gets enough consistent ABs. He's been spreading the ABs around the entire roster, making sure guys are fresh and feeling like regular starters. Yankiel Fernandez is not starting in right field a ton. He's not DHing a ton either, but you go and look and you're saying he's starting a majority of games. And so he's not languishing on the bench in any way. And I think there's some intention to make sure that Amador doesn't languish on the bench for him to get regular at-bats as well. And with Arcia and Farmer able to play multiple positions, that should happen. And with Arcia and Farmer also being two guys that you could very much say are going to be in trade conversations, it makes a lot of sense that Amador will be able to fit in just a little bit. In the chat, Ritter looked good at second base. Yeah, he was great. I think there was a nice double play on Saturday that looked real seamless. That was impressive. Mikey in the chat, welcome. Also in the chat, question, do you know if Chris Bryant is trying to come back this year or next? Yes, he's trying to come back. He wants to play. He wants to get back. But I don't know that his body is going to allow him to do that. And any kind of surgeries that will improve his back will hurt his athleticism. You or I, if we needed surgery because of the pain that we were in to fix something, we could get that surgery and be better for it. We might be limited a little bit in certain things that we can do. Doctors might say, hey, stay away from this. Don't do any heavy lifting or don't get into powerlifting, right? Running is okay, but maybe limit that running. I don't know what any kind of fusion surgery to your spine is going to limit you in doing, but what it will 100% limit you from doing is being a major league caliber athlete. You just can't have that kind of injury and be expected to rotate your trunk and dive for balls and be an athlete on this level. No human being could have that kind of surgery and be able to play up to that standard. So is Chris Bryant trying to come back? Yes. Will he? That remains to be seen. That really remains to be seen going forward. Speaking of injuries, second basemen that are unfortunate, not sure if you saw over the weekend, but Brendan Rodgers, nasty, scary collision during a rehab assignment in AAA for the Sugarland Space Cowboys. When I originally heard it, I imagined it was a shallow fly ball to right field. When you think of a collision and two players going at it with a second baseman, you imagine a ball in shallow right field, right fielder's coming in, second baseman's going out, boom, collision. No, this was a ground ball that was on the shortstop side of second base that Rodgers went down to kind of get, but the shortstop was already there. He didn't get out of the way in time, and it just knocked him silly. And it's unfortunate because this collision resulted in not only just a nasal fracture for B-Rod, but a concussion. So really scary play just for how unorthodox that it was. And the simple fact that Brendan Rodgers is going to miss even more time. Now it was on the 10-day IL already because of an oblique strain. And, I'm not sure how much he's going to be able to return this season. Concussions can keep you down for a while. Concussion was something that Justin Morneau basically battled with his entire career. The impact that all of the concussions that he had placed upon him, it messed him up for a while, unfortunately. So hopefully B-Rod can come back, be fine. Right now, he's only made 128 plate appearances with the Astros so far. So definite thoughts and prayers going out to Brendan Rodgers. Onto some positive things, talking about high round draft picks and top draft picks for this Rockies organization. Good news for Charlie Condon, as over the weekend, homering in back-to-back games for AA Hartford and what ultimately was a walk-off win. He has been playing really well so far since getting promoted. Love to see that. Lefty Michael Prosecki, a six-round pick in 2022, just recently made his AA debut, allowed one earned run on two hits and two walks and five strikeouts in five innings on, I believe that was Saturday as well. And tip of the cap, the Arizona Complex League Rockies, 35-21. They have clinched a spot in the ACL playoffs. Kyle Karros has looked all right so far. Hasn't been too much of a string, but he was promoted to AAA Albuquerque. So now he is just one step away from the majors. He very well could be a player that we do see as soon as early August. Now, he's going to have to really earn his spot. He played well in AA, didn't tear the cover off the ball, hit .294, good, .399 on base percentage, really good on base, but a .462 slug, only hit four home runs, had his fair share of doubles in his 55 games, but I think he still has a lot to prove, and there's kind of a roster crunch this offseason coming up. And for a guy that's not currently on the 40-man roster, they'd have to create room for him. So I don't think they want him to finish the year in AAA or stay down in the minors. If he's ready, he's ready. He's going to get that opportunity, but he's going to have to earn that opportunity. If we're talking final 3 weeks of the season and you need a middle infielder or you need a third baseman or someone who can play third base, if Kyle Karros is not showing that he's ready, I could see a Warming Bernabéu or Julio Carreras coming up to make their major league debut. They're added to the 40-man. And then when you need that spot in the offseason, you can designate that player for assignment and you're good to go. But if you promote Kyle Karros and he makes his debut in August or September, that guy is on your 40-man roster. So Karros is going to have to earn it. And it remains to be seen if he'll be able to perform. I think I would probably lean towards him performing in Albuquerque and earning that spot. But he's going to have to knock loud because roster spots are coming at somewhat of a premium this off season. Keep in mind, Karros was the 2024 Northwest League MVP. Also down in the minors, as a guy that I'm comparing, I'm giving him the comparison of a Garrett Hampson 2.0, Braylon Wimmer. He was an eighth round pick last year at the University of South Carolina. He is now up in AA, went 2-for-4 in his debut with Hartford. He played really well at 86 games at High A Spokane with an 880 OPS, 22 doubles, 2 triples, 14 homers, 53 RBI, and 26 stolen bases. Power and speed. He has been a very bright surprise from the 2024 draft class. He is moving very quickly, just as Garrett Hampson moved very quickly throughout the minors. In the chat, do these AA and AAA promotions give us any clues to trade movements? No, not exactly. Again, if you've got a guy in AA, we don't see a ton of players, almost none, that go from AA to the majors. So that being said, Kyle Karros getting promoted to Albuquerque suggests, okay, well, we might need this guy. We might want this guy. And he's earned that opportunity to go to the next level. So there's something within that. But no, this is just the time of year where guys advance. And it happens all around baseball. It's happening for all 30 teams. So, you know, by the time, you know, you move up to AAA from AA, or in the case of Braylon Wimmer, going from High A to AA, you're going to see a lot of some of the same guys. Maybe not all the same, because in the case of going from Spokane to Hartford, there's only, I think, the Giants are an overlap. That teams that are in the major league, teams who have an affiliate that are in the Northwest League, the only one, to my knowledge, in the AA Eastern League is the Giants for the Richmond Flying Squirrels. So you're facing new guys. You are facing new guys, but you're facing other players that were in High A in the Midwest League, let's say. So you're still playing against, you know, some equal quality players as you move up. But no, it's not a direct correlation about the trade movements. If anything, you would say that because Kyle Karros is playing so well, you might feel a little bit more confident to say, you know what? Maybe we don't need Ryan McMahon at third base for the next two seasons because we have a replacement. If you don't have a replacement, then you might say, it maybe is better for us to hold on to this guy than not. But if there is a replacement, you promote that guy to the next level and it makes you feel a little bit more comfortable with making a trade like that. That being said, it does not mean Kyle Karros in AAA right now does not mean Ryan McMahon is definitely getting dealt. Not at all. MLB.com was writing a little bit about the trade deadline and the trade deadline rationale of some teams. Thomas Harding saying the Rockies just have to sell. And that's true. You know, some of the players that were named in this article, Herman Marquez, up in the air right now, hurt. Austin Gomber, not really performing very well. One good start could change that just a little bit in this Cardinal series. you got Jake Bird and Tyler Kinley. Bird struggling right now, more so than Kinley. That being said, I don't think that really impacts their value that much. Ryan McMahon, I've talked about for a while. Mickey Moniak, a player that, despite the fact you might have seen in the offseason or just before opening day, Moniak signed to a one-year deal, that does not mean he's going to be a free agent after this season. A lot of guys, and this happens with the Rockies, I think maybe more than some other teams, you sign a player to a one-year deal, that just means you've agreed to how much money you're going to make this year. It doesn't mean that there is not some sort of agreement in place for you to be around the next year. Players cannot earn free agency until after 6 years of service time. Some players get free agency because they are deemed to not be worth their current contract, or they're not good enough because there are better players that need a spot on the 40-man. So they get designated for assignment and waived and become free agents. That's happened a lot more in the last decade than ever before. That's one of the reasons why the middle class of free agency is dying out, is because, yeah, the superstars are the superstars. You can't replicate those players. You can't replicate that name recognition. But the middle tier guys, you can find cheaper replacements. And that middle class of free agency is going by the wayside because players are getting designated for assignment all the time. 10 years ago, you wouldn't have seen a player like Brendan Rodgers or Cal Quantrill DFA'd after what they were able to do for the Rockies in 2024. They weren't world beaters, but they were big league players you want on your team at a decent price. They're making what they've earned in arbitration. But now, because there are so many players that you can get on the cheap because other teams are doing the same thing by designating players for assignment, now all of a sudden, you've got more options. You look around the middle class of baseball and there are just always cheaper options that are going to be available for you. So Moniak signs the one-year deal, but he'll start next year with a little more than 4 years of service time, which means he's not a free agent. He'll start 2026 with a little more than 5 years of service time, which means he will get over that six-year mark after the 2027 campaign. So the Rockies have Mickey Moniak for two more years, despite the fact you go back and look and you see that he signed a one-year deal. He is under club control for one more year. Same thing with Tyro Estrada, where he's got a club option for next year. The Rockies could decline that and still keep him on the team because he does not have 6 years of service time just yet. So it's not a loophole so much as it is just the language. It's just how, you know, Brenton Doyle this offseason is, he's going to go into arbitration and, you know, Rockies signed him to a two-year deal. They didn't do anything. All they did was avoid arbitration. They said, okay, we could go to arbitration, kick numbers back and forth for the next 2 years, or we can give you guaranteed money for a little less than what you were expecting, but it's guaranteed. So if you get hurt or you're really bad, guess what? You're going to get paid regardless. It's a win-win situation. Brenton Doyle is under club control for a few more years. Whether or not he signs a one-year deal, a two-year extension, quote-unquote, it's not truly an extension. It's not extending past the club control.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
You don't need to be ripped. You just need the right shirt. Epic Fits gives you a clean, confident silhouette. Snug on the arms, soft on the skin, generous where it counts. And with deals like $15 per tee, they won't break the bank. Visit epicfits.com today. Epic Fits, t-shirts that get it.
Now, Nolan Arenado. Let's get to him back in action, back in Denver. This would now be year number five? No. Yeah. Yeah, because he was traded after the 2020 season. So 2021 was the first time. Shows back up at the All-Star game in 2021, wearing the Cardinals colors, getting a nice ovation there. So this is now his fifth year, and each year he gets more and more relaxed. Last year, he just got to talk about Charlie Blackmon. So that was a lot of fun talking with him. I'll be discussing that conversation with Nolan Arenado this year very soon. In the chat asking, still paying Nolan how much? Yeah, let's get to that. So what's going on with Nolan Arenado? The last 2 years, not great. First time since 2014, Arenado has not been an all-star, both 2024 and 2025. 2014, keep in mind, was only his second year in the majors, so he wasn't that known commodity he is now. He was a finalist for the Gold Glove Award again last year, but he wasn't in 2023. So he has not won since 2022. He just hasn't been the same since 2022, where he was nearly the MVP. I actually thought he had a very strong case, but Arenado stumped for his teammate, Paul Goldschmidt, and said, this guy should be the MVP. So Arenado ends up finishing third, but you look at him and you say, oh man, he's really deteriorated. This is what happens when players get older. It is absolutely natural. He's still above the average in terms of third baseman in regards to offense and defense. Yeah, he's still there. Longevity-wise, that remains to be seen. But when you talk about this trade from early February of 2021, I say February because that was when it became official, but those of you that were on the Emergency Live podcast with me back when I was with DNVR, we talked for 2 hours, it felt like, breaking down that immediate trade when Ken Rosenthal said, hey, this trade's going down. And you look at what the Rockies got, and it was bad. It was bad. Austin Gomber, the last player, still with the team 4 years after the trade. And he's been a serviceable number 3-4 starter, but it's hardly what you want for a future Hall of Fame third baseman who is still in his prime. Elijah Montero is in Japan, and I think there's a few of the prospects still kicking around in the minors, but they are not young prospects anymore. I think the $50 million that the Rockies kicked in is really what makes this such a lopsided deal, because it was something that continued to hurt and impact this team and their spending. And if you look and said, well, what if you had that extra $5 to $20 million that you don't have to send to St. Louis? What are you now putting that towards with this franchise? Three consecutive 100 loss seasons correspond with free money for the St. Louis Cardinals coming out of the pocket of the Rockies. Could Colorado have gotten Gomber, Montero, the three prospects for Arenado just straight up? 100%. And maybe that would have been the best they could have done. Maybe that would have been the best they could have done. But the $50 million is the thing that I think has really hamstrung this organization more than anything. Maybe even more than the Chris Bryant contract, believe it or not. Arenado's legacy, has it improved? Has it worsened? I don't think his legacy has worsened, not at all. Has he slowed down? Yes. Is he going to be considered the greatest third baseman of all time? Absolutely not. He's behind Mike Schmidt easily, and George Brett, Wade Boggs, Eddie Matthews, by a lot. If you like Jaws, which I do, it has him as the 19th best third baseman of all time, just ahead of him, Manny Machado at number 18. Manny Machado is a guy that isn't slowing down that much. And you can see a long career ahead of him. Just got 2,000 hits before the All-Star break. 1,000 more hits is a lot more to get to. But I could see Machado getting there eventually. Arenado, best days behind him. Could he have one more bounce back season? I mean, we saw Paul Goldschmidt do that in his mid-30s. Could Arenado do that? I think so. I do think so. But when you look at Jaws, which is a format, an algorithm, if you will, created by Jay Jaffe of FanGraphs, who does an amazing job comparing players from all generations to give you a feel for how good they were during their time. As the 19th best third baseman of all time, Arenado is behind four players who are not currently in the Hall of Fame. And two of them do get discussed a little bit more than the other two. Greg Nettles, Ken Boyer, who we've seen recently on some Veterans Committee ballots, Buddy Bell, yeah, Buddy Bell, former manager of the Rockies, and Sal Bando are all ahead of him and not in Cooperstown. But that is not the be-all, end-all for the conversation, though. Just because there's players ahead of you at your position doesn't mean, well, it's impossible for you to get in because, again, Jaws is just a helpful tool and plenty of Hall of Fame voters do not care about it at all. And we've seen that with some of the ballots that have actually got out there. So what's next for Nolan Arenado? He's got two more years on his current deal. That 2027 deal was part of an extension. So he'll get $27 million next year in 2026. $5 million comes from Colorado. That's their last of their payments. And then in 2027, when he gets $15 million, the Cardinals foot the bill for that entire thing because that was tacked on after when there was an option, an opt-out in Arenado's contract. So two more years, he's going to be playing. We know that for sure. And then beyond that, that'll be his age 37 season. Sure, that's on the older side of things, but there are guys that still can play well and still can contribute after that. Could he play at age 37 and beyond? Absolutely. Right now, he's 49 homers away from 400 career homers. Don't know that he needs to get there exactly because of how great he played defensively. I'm not sure that he's going to get there. 49 for a guy that's been, you know, under 20 consistently the last three years. I don't know. It's going to take him a while. It might end up being really close. If he does play into age 37, maybe even age 38, if he's got to do that to get to 400, sure, fine. He might not want to. Again, I don't think he needs 400 RBI. He's going to reach 1,200 RBI. That's easy, but I don't know that he needs to reach 400 home runs. It just doesn't need to happen. How much does Nolan versus Ryan McMahon's defense numbers match up so far this season? That's a good question. I don't have those in front of me right now. McMahon playing great defense. Arenado has been really solid again this season defensively. So, you know, that's been his calling card. Not as good as when he was with the Rockies, when he was a young man, but he's a guy still very capable. And on a contending team, you know, he's a veteran guy that can take some young players under his wing. So still plenty of value for Nolan Arenado. Good to see him back at Coors Field, as always. At Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB, and the Rockies Insider on YouTube. Go check it out. Appreciate the momentum you've provided me here today. Hope to see you at the ballpark this weekend, beginning of next week, whatever it may be, for Twins and Cardinals. Appreciate the momentum you've provided me here today. But that momentum, well, it's only as good as my next show. So, of course, I'll talk to you then.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
You don't need to be ripped. You just need the right shirt. Epic Fits gives you a clean, confident silhouette. Snug on the arms, soft on the skin, generous where it counts. And with deals like $15 per tee, they won't break the bank. Visit epicfits.com today. Epic Fits. T-shirts that get it.